All right. Here we go. Another edition of Talking Dodgers brought to you by Rot Your Brain Media. All right. This episode is sponsored by Command Creative Studios. Looking to jump into the podcast world and start making your own content? Well, Command Creative Studios is your one-stop shop for professional podcasts. With a team of audio engineers, music composers, and graphic designers, Command Creative Studios can get your podcast sounding professional as well as looking professional. For more information, please visit commandcreativestudios.com. Don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus.
This is What's on Deck, brought to you by Max's Tesla. We're going to talk about the return of Yoshinobu Yamamoto. We're going to talk a little bit of Tommy Edman, and he is the real deal. Walker Buehler took a step back during this last series. I think we all need to relax about Bobby Miller a little bit. Let's also recap the Dodgers-Cubs series and preview the Dodger-Braves series coming up this weekend. The magic number for the Dodgers is what, Max?
13.
Nope. What is it?
19. No, I don't know.
13.
It's 13.
No, I didn't update it.
Oh, then I don't know.
It might even be 11. I'm not really too sure.
It
we probably should
matter.
Like that a little bit better. Also, real quick, the Ohtani quest to become the founder of the 50-50 club. Let's see. What's he at now? Let's look at some highlights. Boom. Here we go. A stolen base and some other stuff happened.
He's at 47-48.
I didn't press the button right.
47 home runs.
47 home runs, 48 stolen bases. Man, that guy is amazing. Money well allocated for future spending.
Did you see him in his bullpen session?
No, I didn't.
No? His fifth bullpen session. Looking good, man.
Did he throw 15 baseballs this time?
I don't know.
Gonsolin had a bullpen session.
Yeah.
Dude, Gonsolin, what's that thing you sent me? Gonsolin is...
He's rehabbing.
He's going to make it back before the playoffs.
Hey, Max.
Yep. Got it. I saw as soon as I walked in.
What does he got?
We're not going to talk about it.
You got a New York Yankee shirt on, dude? What is going on?
If I turn my hat around, now we turn into a Yankee podcast here over here.
For some of our listeners, I'm wearing a New York Yankees shirt.
Why, man? What are you doing?
Why not?
Well,
greatest franchise in sports history.
My daughter, no, it's not.
Let's pull
Who's
ourselves.
Better?
Let's All pull right. ourselves back here, buddy.
Okay, so my daughter's first year playing baseball, she has baseball because they didn't have softball that year. She was in New York Yankees, so nice. I was on the field and to support my daughter, I got a Yankee shirt. Robbie, we're several different teams every year. You're not the same.
Yeah, I got you.
So with my old shirts, I just use them as like my comfy shirts or work around the house shirts. I just happen to wear. My Yankees shirt today.
That's
it's
fine.
Good that
no,
you're
it.
Introducing her to winning right off the bat. That's great. You're such a good father.
Max, you're on fire today.
I'm oh, right man.
Now. You're pissing me off. All right, let's jump into it. Let's talk about Yamamoto's return. So, I mean, I don't think this performance could have been any better. So let's see, Yamamoto returned to the mound on Tuesday after being sidelined for nearly 3 months with a right shoulder injury. The Japanese right-hander put on an impressive performance, striking out 8 batters and allowing only 1 run on 4 hits during his dominant 4-inning appearance in the Dodgers' 6-3 loss. Yeah, that's right, loss to the Cubs at Dodger Stadium. He threw 59 pitches, 42 of them were for strikes. He strikes out, I believe, the first 4 batters of this game, and... The only thing that was maybe I guess you could be bummed about was that he didn't go longer. But dude, 4 solid innings. That one run that he gave up was a hard shot to Freeman at first base. I believe it hits first base and basically bounces off Freeman's chest. I mean, other than that, like he owned that strike zone, and I am very excited from what I saw. As long as he can stay healthy and keep getting stretched out, there's your 2 right there, Mike. There's your 2. I know we talked about, I think Flaherty should be the 1. Yamamoto, I think there's your number 2. If you get Yamamoto and you've got Flaherty at least, you have a two strong pitchers going into the playoffs. I mean, that's a deal. That's going to change a lot of things.
Yeah, you look really good. You were a little tentative about him last pod. Like you thought maybe he might not be able to go 4 or 5 innings and look strong, but I think maybe this time off was good for him. Not only because he had to rehab, obviously, but I think it maybe actually preserved his longevity on the mound.
Yeah.
To go into a deep playoff run. I think it might have been a
blessing.
Blessing in disguise, maybe.
Yeah. Hopefully. I mean, he was still, one of the things that I heard was that he might have gotten hurt because when he played against your guys' Yankees, he was throwing as hard as he had season, throwing 98 miles an hour. Because like he could touch 98 sometimes, ever so often he'll hit 98, but then his fastball kind of dropped down to like, I think like 95 or 94 or something. But he stayed 98 consistent against the Yankees, and it seemed like he stayed consistent at 98 at this game against the Cubs. I don't know, Max, if you've got that, if you could pull it up, but it just seemed like he was determined to make a statement in this game. And I don't know if it's because he was pitching against, what's his name? The other Japanese pitcher. I'm going to say Inaga. How you say his name? Yeah. Okay. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe it was because he was pitching against fellow countrymen. I'm not too sure, but he looked great. So we should definitely be pumped about that.
Oh, I'm pumped.
Let me ask you guys a question. Mm. Do you think the fact that he was hurt and he missed a big chunk of the season, that's going to play in his favor in terms of people not seeing enough of him to build, you know, that full scouting report? So he's still kind of like an unknown because there's not enough data on him, because, you know, everything is data driven.
That's
right?
A great point,
now,
Max.
Do you think that's going to be in his advantage?
I think so. That's a good point. Didn't think about that at all. I think you're spot on with that.
I don't know. The only reason why, because there's so much film on him in Japan already. It's not like they don't, you know, I feel like they could get the footage already. And he did pitch, I think it was like 86 innings already in the majors before he got hurt. That's a decent amount of tape to sit there and watch. That's a lot of film.
There wasn't a lot of film on him because during his courting, a lot of the GMs had to fly out there to go and kind of see the real deal. Because
I feel like there wasn't
enough data like that on him like that.
There's enough film to give him a 12-year contract for
that's his arm.
300 and, yeah. It's impressive because when he pitches and when he throws the baseball, it does not seem like there's that much movement going on. So if you look at like Bobby Miller, who we'll talk about him in a little bit, Bobby Miller throws like 99, 100 miles an hour fastball, but still getting like it gets hit a lot, as we're going to talk about. But with Yamamoto, it's all about the placement. If he just gets it exactly where it needs to be, where if it does get hit, it's not, you know, it's not a missile home run. They're either late on it, they're guessing because his other pitches are working so well. But there's got to be a little bit of more movement on his pitches than what Bobby Miller's got. But pinpoint accuracy, I guess, helps.
Always did for Greg Maddux.
All right. Anybody else want to add anything to Yamamoto before we move on to the next subject?
No. For me, I want to see 3 starts out of him and then have a good assessment. But he looked good first game out.
Yeah. So he went, what did I say? How many pitches did he do? He did 59 pitches. So basically 60 pitches. So I think the goal might be if he can get, they'll stretch him out 10 pitches every start. So obviously to get to the magic number of 100, I think that's always like, you always want your pitchers to be able to at least throw 100 pitches. So he should have 3 more starts, I believe. So if that's the case, then he should be stretched out at least to like around 90 pitches before the playoffs go. And then, you know, I guess that playoff start would be the 100. So he could be stretched out enough. Time will tell. All right, let's move on to Tommy Edman, because, man, he's becoming my favorite offensive threat that the Dodgers have, and that's with a team with a bunch of MVP players.
That's come a long way, considering when we picked him up, Robbie, you didn't even know who he was. I mean, I didn't.
I kind of knew who he was, but then I had to like remind myself and kind of look at the stats and stuff. But so far, let's see. So the series that he just had against the Cubs, he went 6 for 13. He had 4 home runs, 6 RBIs. He had 2 games where he hit 2 solo home runs. I mean, that's incredible stats right there. But since he's joined the Dodgers, he's had 80 at-bats. It's a small sample size, but 80 at-bats. He's got the 4 home runs that we just saw in the series, 13 RBIs. He's batting 300. His OPS is .821. And he plays a solid defense in center field. I know he got credited for an error in the Yamamoto game, but that, in my opinion, was not his fault. I'm not really entirely sure why the ball wasn't cut off, why it went directly. I don't know. We don't need to talk about that right now. But all I'm saying is, like, he plays really good defense, and he battles at his at-bats. Like, you never see him swing at something that just seems ridiculous. He has a very controlled swing from both sides of the plate. He just looks like a pure little baller. You know what I mean? Like, we've talked about it, like how he's not very big. He's not a very big baseball player, but he just looks like he's a gamer. Like, he just, we've seen him in Little League. Those really small kids that are, you know, they're 12 years old, but they look like they're 8 years old, but man, they're really play.
Gamers.
They're gamers. If they were just a little bit taller, they'd be your number one pick, but you know, you got to take them low. I mean, that's kind of how he reminds me of those players, but you know, he's got the height and the stature.
He's retiring this year though, right? This is last year in baseball?
No. You're thinking of Kiermaier.
Oh, you're right. Kiermaier.
No, we got Tommy Evans for another 2 years, I think.
Oh, so, dude, that's huge.
Right? And he plays gold glove infield too. Like, he could take over like an infield position, like shortstop or second base if we needed him to. He's been playing a little bit of shortstop as well.
Bye-bye, Chris Taylor.
You know, unfortunately, you have Chris Taylor for another 2 years as well. So
I would get rid of his ass and keep Edmund.
I mean, yeah, if you had to choose between Edmund and Chris Taylor, you'd take Edmund for sure.
Dude, this guy, I would. That's awesome.
I would. So yeah, so I just want to bring him up and just let let all of our fans, and all listeners. Of our listeners know that we should all be very excited because, in my opinion, we got the best pitcher in, you know, at the trade deadline, which is Flaherty. We might have had like one of the best steals offensive wise in Edmonds because, dude, the guy's a player.
Yeah, like, he's a gamer.
He's a gamer, and so I'm super super excited. He's also really fast too.
And don't forget,
he's got five stolen bases with the Dodgers as well.
You guys got Kopech. That was great.
And we got Kopech. So we might add like one of the best bullpen pieces. Right there. It is a trifecta. All right. Anybody want to add on to Tommy Edman?
No, I'm a fan. He's fun to watch.
All right. Well, let's take this moment. We're going to take this moment to remind our fans to don't forget to click the like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus. Make sure you click the subscribe. You'll get notifications of when our podcasts drop. And also to remind you, we're on YouTube. You go check out our YouTube channel. Max, what's our YouTube channel?
It's youtube.com/rotyourbrainmedia.
Speaking of that,
I'm looking last at it right episode, now. You said something about free Dodgers tickets to the 100th YouTube subscriber.
I'm looking at it right now.
And did you get it?
Yeah, they right off the bat.
I knew it, Melissa.
So
is it?
No,
is it?
No. Do we really do it? So who is it?
There is that's going to be fun to try to figure out, but because you know they don't kind of give it to you in order like that. I'm gonna have to do some digging to see who won it. But
whoever our 100 subscriber
some Dodger tickets.
You just earned some Dodger tickets now.
Come is out it going to be for this season or next season?
Come out, I don't know. Come out from the woodworks and introduce yourself for we'll try your to get you two Dodger tickets. We'll try to get you in this season.
Yeah, I'll do some digging tomorrow, but...
Whoever it is to...
Come forward.
But is that something you can look up, Max?
I hope so.
You know, you got to be able to.
But hey, high five to Rot Your Brain Media to Talking Dodgers for hitting the 100th subscriber.
Yeah.
Next is 1,000. Let's do it.
Let's get to 200.
All right. Let's do that. All right, so...
That's awesome, dude. We got the 100 subscribers. That's good.
We should get t-shirts, man.
We should.
Talking Dodgers, 100 subscribers and counting. It's like a Big Mac. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk a little bit of Walker Buehler. So, Walker Buehler's last start. Let's see. What do we write here? Walker Buehler definitely took a step backwards. But from what I saw, I'm not going to get to that in a second. So let's see. His stats are, he went 5 innings pitch, he gave up 9 hits, 5 earned runs, 1 walk, 4 Ks, 2 homers. He had 86 pitches, only 60 of them were for strikes. So I'm going to call this right now. So I've been a big advocate for Walker Buehler, and I believe, Mike, so have you. You think we're going to need him in the playoffs, and I keep hearing some rumbling from people as far as like their concerns with Walker Buehler, rightfully so, because he hasn't really shown the pitcher that he used to be. But we keep seeing these signs of him figuring it out. So it looked like he struggled in the game, but those moments, I believe, are still there. And I saw a lot more positives than I had in a while. And it's unfortunately he didn't get the results. he's not, even though he does, he did have one walk, which is, you know, one walk is not really that bad for a start. But he's not, how do I say this? He's not trying to pitch around pitcher or batters anymore. He's going right after them. He's trying to figure out what works and what doesn't work. And I believe the movement on his breaking balls are there. His fastball might not still be locating where he wants it to locate. So if he's not locating that, it's kind of hard for his breaking pitches to kind of like lock into place. But I'm seeing him slowly get it put together. So I'm going to call my shot right now. I believe Walker Buehler is going to figure it out in the next two starts. You're going to see vintage Walker Buehler. Might not be the next start, but it'll be the start after that. He's going into Atlanta in the next series. So Braves are not a slouch. They're fighting for that last spot in the playoffs. I think he's going to go in there and you're going to see a good performance from him. But then the next start, I think you're going to start seeing lights out Walker Buehler. I almost dropped the bomb, but I didn't. I'm going to say it. I'm calling it. Mike, I don't know if you watched the game or not, if you saw it or you looked at the highlights. I'll put some highlights up right now. I don't think it's from that game, unfortunately.
I have faith in Walker Buehler. I think he's a vet, and the more starts he gets and innings under his belt, I think he's going to get more precise and more effective with his pitch selection, his location, his speed, and his power.
Yeah.
I've said it, you know, since the beginning, we're going to need him. But I think the more reps he gets on the mound, he's just going to get better.
So right now,
we also don't really have a choice considering our injury plague right now with pitchers. But I have faith in Walker Buehler. I've always been a Walker Buehler fan.
Right.
And I think he's going to lead us to the promised land.
I mean, right now,
not as a number one, but he's going to be a key piece to our World Series run.
No, I mean, if you have Flaherty right now, we're only talking healthy pitchers. Now that you've got Yamamoto back, we're putting him in the healthy column because he's pitching games now. So if you got Flaherty as your one, Yamamoto as your two, I mean, right now, unless I'm missing somebody, if I'm forgetting anybody, Walker Buehler would be your three, right? Am I missing somebody?
I think you make Buehler your two and Yamamoto your three.
You want Yamamoto to pitch away?
Yeah, because I don't think, unless he starts dominating, I think.
But of all those pitchers, doesn't Walker Buehler have the best postseason track record?
Yes.
So
and yeah. that's what I'm looking forward that? To. Is that.
I mean, you know.
Okay, let me ask you this. Would you make Walker Buehler our one, Yamamoto our two, and Flaherty our three?
No, I think Flaherty's got to start the season off. When I say season, the postseason,
yeah,
he's got to start it off.
Yeah, I worry about us being down 2-0.
I do also, and then, look, if you go down 2-0, then maybe you pivot. Maybe you go Flaherty, like pitch on short rest
short
or
rest,
something.
Yeah.
And I think the way he pitches, you could do that with him. You can't do that with Yamamoto. He's just not built for it. Obviously, you can't do this with Walker Buehler because you're still trying to, like, you know, figure out if he has an arm.
Or maybe Gonsolin becomes our number three.
No, man. I say we stick with what's realistic. And right now, you have four, five if you count Knack right now. Am I missing somebody? Am I missing a pitcher here?
Who's Gavin healthy? Stone.
Gavin Stone's not healthy.
I know. That's the only other guy we'd
have. Do we only have five healthy pitchers right now? I thought we were at like six. So if it's Bobby Miller, Flaherty, Yamamoto,
Buehler,
and then Knack.
And then Knack. That's it.
All right.
Wow. First world problems. You have five healthy pitchers.
Sorry, Yankee.
Could be worse. Hey, could be worse. We could be
the Orioles. Yankees.
Anyway,
Oh yeah, they're not in first anymore.
I'm calling my shot. So I called my shot. Let's all mark it down.
Walker Buehler.
I think Walker Buehler is going to figure it out in the next two games, and then we're going to start going. Yes, this is exciting. Glad this is happening. Glad we stuck with them.
Speaking of exciting, are you excited about Bobby Miller?
Good transition. Let's jump into Bobby Miller. All right, so. There's a lot of hate going on for Bobby Miller right now, and some of it might be rightfully so, but this is more of a just everyone needs to just chill out on Bobby Miller for a couple reasons. But look, he's struggling. Let's look at his stats for the last game that he just pitched, which Wednesday. He only went 4 1/3, you know, 5 hits, 6 earned runs. He walked 4, struck out 2, gave up 2 home runs. He's not looking good. And it's not like he doesn't have velocity in his pitches. It's not like his breaking balls are not moving. It just seems like he just can't locate them where they need to locate. And I also feel like he doesn't have the movement on his fastball, which we talked about, but I don't know. He might be given a tell or something. I don't know. Cause some of they're just sitting on certain pitches, and I don't know if it's a pitching sequence thing or something, but my point is that Bobby Miller obviously has the stuff to like become a future ace for this team or someone else's team. We saw it last year when he was a rookie, and we kept waiting for that rookie slump to come in, to kick in, for the league to figure him out. And they actually really never did. Like his whip last year, I believe, was really good. Max, I don't know if you could pull that up.
What's whip stand for?
I can't say that. This is a family show, man.
Whip?
No, wins.
Wins, hits, innings pitched.
His whip last year was a 1.10.
You know what Bobby Miller needs? He needs to take the same lesson that our catcher did and step into Robbie's office.
Step into my office, man.
You need to step into Robbie's office, have a long conversation.
No, like
Will Smith sat down with Robbie after about 20 minutes and came back hitting again.
I just heard this, like I keep
hearing
this
thing. Step into our office, Bobby.
There's like a one podcast that I listen to sometimes, and I normally shouldn't do that. They're very passionate about it. I never want to see Bobby Miller pitch another game this season. Like it's atrocious, blah, blah, blah. They're just like really cutting him down. And with Bobby Miller, there's a lot of upside from Bobby Miller still pitching. Okay. So I'm going to go through them. Number one is like our pitchers kind of drop like flies, it seems like sometimes. And right now that I'm talking, I can't even, like, we only have 5 healthy pitchers, if that, at the moment. And we could go through about 15 pitchers that we should have that are starters that should be, you know, be able to pitch, but everybody's injured. That's a little exaggerated number, but I'm just using it right now. So you don't know what's going to happen. So just taking Bobby Miller, shutting him down for the year, and then all of a sudden Yamamoto can't pitch. Then all of a sudden, like, you know, let's say Flaherty gets hurt. Now you only got 2 pitchers or 3 pitchers. And now you're like, oh man, maybe we should have stuck with Bobby Miller a little bit because
it's too early to.
But what I'm saying is that there is still a small possibility that Bobby Miller could figure it out and you might need him. Number two, and this is the most important out of all of them, he rests the pitchers you're going to definitely use. Taking him out, I want as many pitchers in the starting rotation right now to keep it at a 6-man rotation. I mean, I'd be happy with a 7-man rotation just to rest the arms to get into the playoffs. Give Yamamoto an extra day. Give Flaherty an extra day. Give Walker Buehler an extra day. Give these pitchers an extra day that you know you're going to need in the playoffs. That means Bobby Miller's got to come in and at least try to figure it out, and he might blow the game. Maybe he gives up 5 runs in 1 inning or something like that. That's fine. Let him figure it out because his stuff is so good. When he does figure it out, he's going to be a contribution to this team. So I don't understand why people are getting butthurt about it, especially since we have a lead still in the division. Probably should have looked that up too. Max, what's our lead in the division right now?
Four and a half games.
Yeah, well, that's what's going to happen when you only take 1 out of 3 in a series.
I mean,
I'm just saying, like, it's time to just back off of Bobby Miller. Let him just figure it out. I'm sure the guy's already stressed out enough. And like for us, like fans to sit there and start yelling stuff at him and get all, you know, booing him at the stadium and everything. It's not like he's not trying. You know, we know what he can do when he's healthy. He's clearly coming back from an injury. He's still figuring it out. And there's that sophomore slump. I'm done. I've said my piece about it.
Yeah, it's too early in his career to give up on him.
Yeah, he's only 25 years old, and wasn't he like the top pitching prospect in all of baseball not too long ago?
I'm not too sure about that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I just think it's too early to give up on him. Maybe he's having a tough year.
He's definitely, yeah.
But with that being said, like, give him an opportunity to figure it out and fix it. The only thing he's going to fix it is getting more innings and reps.
Well, I know Roberts came out and said he's going to pitch at least 1 more game. He didn't clarify if that.
Sorry, we're 5 games up in the division over Arizona right now. By the
way, yes, we gained 0.5 game. All right, good job, podcast. Good job. Anyways, I just think that that there's a lot of upside from Bobby Miller continuing to pitch and continue to figure it out. And
yeah,
so,
I agree.
Calling for him to stop pitching, calling for the Dodgers to stop letting him pitch, seems a little ridiculous. Considering that this team needs all the pitching that they, You can't throw away pitchers right now. You never know what's going to happen. And this season has clearly stated that. Look at who our starting pitchers were to start the season, and look who's not pitching with us right now. So,
yeah, we got, I mean, you said it earlier. So here's what we got: Knack, Flaherty, Buehler, Yamamoto, and Miller. That's it.
Yeah. So they'll probably call somebody else up, hopefully for a sixth game or something like that. It might be Wroblewski again or something. And so people are talking about having Wroblewski pitch instead of Bobby Miller. Wroblewski's had like two good games, maybe three good games his entire career. Bobby Miller had a good season.
I would take Bobby Miller or Wroblewski.
Yeah.
Like that's foolishness.
Yeah.
Foolishness, I say.
Foolishness.
What do you guys think out there, our loyal listeners?
Yeah, tell us who you'd rather pitch. Tell us what you think with that. What do you think the Dodgers should do with Bobby Miller? Let him continue to pitch and figure it out. As long as we still stay, have a healthy lead in the division, do we just let him just, you know, knowing that most likely it's going to be a hard game to win if Bobby Miller's pitching, do we just continue to let him do it? Hopefully he figures it out. Or do you think it's too close to allow him to pitch, shut him down, move on to the next big
thing? We don't have very many options, but what I will say is if we're going to go into a game with Bobby Miller pitching, I'm sure...
A lot of things happen wrong, if that's what's like...
No. That's where I'm going with this. I'm going to dive into offense a little bit. If you know Bobby Miller's on the mound, you know our offense needs to put up some runs. Hopefully...
10 runs. Apparently, if Bobby Miller starts a game, you got to put up 10 runs because we only won that game 10-8.
But what I'm alluding to is maybe it puts a little fire underneath the offense's butt to score some runs.
Yeah.
Like, not... I mean, I don't know if you got... When you got Flaherty on the mound, we can win 3-1. You know what I mean? Like, I would say that about Yamamoto's start the other night, but that didn't really work out too well.
Well, that was because poor defense.
Well, I'm just saying, if Bobby Miller's pitching, I think the offense knows they got to put up a lot of runs.
Yeah, they're going there to hit.
Yeah, and maybe that leads into a different mindset where we don't fall into that stupid trap in offense like we did in postseason last year where we don't score any runs.
I see what you're saying.
That's all.
I see what you're saying.
Maybe there's a silver lining with having a subpar Bobby Miller. But if Bobby Miller's going to pitch in the playoffs, you better come see Robbie in his office.
Smack. All right, I think it's going to do it for Player Spotlight. Remember, Player Spotlight was brought to you by Max's car. Go get a Tesla. All right, Max, this is your ad spot. Do me proud.
I thought it was by Tesla.
Player Spotlight.
Go ahead, you can go.
No, you got it.
I don't want to jump in. Go ahead, man. You already started.
No, Robbie's intro.
Oh my God, it's so late.
Robbie blew that intro. Ad spot was not brought to you by
the Tesla.
The Tesla. It was brought to you by who, Max?
I see what you did right there. Player Spotlight is brought to you by Rot Your Brain Media, the up-and-coming podcast company delivering top-quality content across all podcast platforms. From sports entertainment to in-depth movie and TV reviews, Rot Your Brain Media is your go-to for fun and exciting content. Don't miss out. Visit their YouTube page at youtube.com/RotYourBrainMedia to support this dynamic new company and be part of something special. Subscribe now and get ready to have your brain truly entertained. This podcast is powered by Rot Your Brain Media. So shout out to them.
Shout out to Rot Your Brain Media. And it is the car, much like Max's Tesla, to get your podcast to the people.
There you go.
You know when I'm tired, my lazy eye just really kicks in, so.
You have a lazy eye?
Yeah, man.
I never noticed that.
You got a lazy something.
All right, let's do a series recap. We're going to do this real fast because we've already kind of talked about it really quick. Before we jump into the series recap, though, let's give you some stats on two former Dodgers, Cody Bellinger and Michael Busch. So these guys hate the Dodgers. They're just there to prove to them, man, you guys shouldn't have let us go. Between the two of these guys, they hit 3 home runs. They had 10 RBIs. Like, they're just monsters. It's great. Love it. Cody Bellinger goes 2-for-4 the first game, 1 homer, 3 RBIs. 1-for-4 the second game, 3rd game, 1-for-3 with a home run, 3 RBIs. Busch, first game, 4-for-5, double, home run, 3 RBIs. Second game, he doesn't do anything. 3rd game, you have to double an RBI. Just saying, those are good guys. Man, sometimes I wish they were still Dodgers, but then I always remember, I start telling myself, we got Tommy Edmonds, so.
Let me ask you this. Do you wish, I've never really talked about former Dodgers with you, Robbie. Hmm. Do you wish we still had Bellinger? Were you a Belly fan?
I was, because he was really clutch, but he went through some funky, here's the thing. He had like a funky 2 years where he just looked really bad at the plate. Like kind of like every single time you see Ohtani swing at those pitches that are low and outside and like his body's like flailing all over the place. That's kind of like what Cody Bellinger looked like a lot. Like he was just really guessing on pitches way too much than I think he should have. But he was also coming off of a shoulder injury. And I guess like there's something with that injury. It takes like 2 years to fully recover from it. So the Dodgers got rid of him right when he was supposed to be fully recovered from it. And so then he goes to the Cubs and, you know, he has fourth, fifth place MVP running. He did, you know, he did pretty good with the Cubs last year.
You know, my assumption, you know, my thinking is, I think he had female problems here in LA. And I think LA was not a good fit for him as a young male person.
That's not what it is. I we've talked about this before. I don't know if
it'll pre-me.
I've talked to Robbie about this offline.
You're a preemie?
The reason is it's all analytical based. His hard hit percentage has dropped dramatically since 2019. His barrel percentage dropped a lot also, and his exit velocity on his hits, meaning he's not hitting the ball as hard as he used to. He's not barreling the ball as often as he used to. And he so
even as a Cub?
Even as a Cub, they've been dropping. So okay. As an analytical organization, that's not the kind of player
he's falling off.
And especially if you're going to be paying them top dollar.
Okay.
And at a position in the outfield where you expect higher barrel rates, higher hard hit, and higher exit velocity. It's all analytically driven why he's not a Dodger.
Gotcha. Well, as
and I have those numbers. I can pull those up if you want to talk about them in depth.
I'm not.
That's really the reason.
I've said it several times. I'm not an analytical person. You throw him out the window.
But the Dodgers are.
I know.
And he's not that kind of player. That he's not the player.
Well,
that
you're saying he's falling off. That's fine.
I will say that.
Except he doesn't fall off when he comes and plays us.
Yeah, that's different. That's stuff that analytics can't think. That's manalytics. That's
manalytics. I like that.
You can't quantify that.
I will say
you can't quantify. Yeah, you can't quantify my manalytics. That's for sure.
It's always hard to see like a homegrown talent go somewhere else.
Yep.
So with like Bellinger and Seager. And
Seager's that makes me sad.
He's out for the season, by the way.
No, really?
Yeah, I just saw a thing. He's out for the season.
Oh man,
he pulled a hamstring, or I don't remember. I gotta look at it. Max,
wow,
Max can find it. Him and
that's
all,
okay. He, we're not even,
Texas got their World Series,
and
so.
Then even Peterson. That's like
Jock's out to you?
No, I mean no. Jock's with Arizona. Like he's just like waiting to come pounce the Dodgers. He plays good against the Dodgers also. I'm just saying like those three homegrown talents.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to see them in other uniforms because I thought not so much Jock. I could see Jock like leaving because he never really had like that star power that Bellinger and Corey Seager had. Corey Seager and Bellinger for a time,
they
Seager,
were the future
Seager,
of the
they
Dodgers.
Were franchise players.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, Seager was always a franchise player. I'm still shocked that they didn't do everything in their power to keep him.
I didn't think he wanted to be here.
I don't think he wanted to be here either.
Yeah,
but
all right, so let's jump into Mr. Bush. We kind of tailed off a little bit.
Nice. We're done in the bush. Let's go ahead and let's recap.
Let's dive into the bush.
Let's not dive in the bush. Okay, here we go. Let's recap Monday's game. Boom, here we go. Cubs win this game 10-4. Bueller only goes 5 innings pitched, gives up 9 hits, 5 earned runs, 1 walk, 4 Ks, 2 home runs. But I've already called my shot. I think in the next 2 games, you're going to see Bueller figure it out, and he's going to become Bueller of old. He's going to become dominant, and we're going to love it. Ohtani goes 2-for-4 in this game. Betts 2-for-4, the home run, 3 RBIs. Tommy Edman goes 2-for-4, and guess what? He only had just hits. They weren't even home runs yet. We didn't even get to the home run stuff yet. That's pretty much it. Dodgers only scored 4 runs. Betts had 3 of them. I'm sorry, 4 runs. Yeah, Betts had 3 of them. Nothing really too special about it. We've already talked a lot about the pitching, so there's not much else to talk about that. So I'm going to transition to this. Switch this video out here. Boom. Look what I'm doing. You know what I'm doing here, Mike? You know what I'm doing here?
Transitioning.
It's called multitasking. I'm doing a terrible job at multitasking.
You just said you're doing really good.
No, no, no. I changed my mind. I'm doing pretty bad. All right, let's talk about Tuesday's game. Boom. Cubs win this game, 6-3. Yamamoto, we've already talked about him. Went 4 innings pitch, 4 hits, 1 earned run, 8 Ks, 59 pitches, 42 of them were for strikes. Tommy Edmonds, that's my guy, goes 2-for-4, 2 home runs, 2 RBIs, all of them solo. Max Muncy also had a big series. He went 1-for-4 with a home run. The game became what I call a joke in the 8th inning. The Cubs score 4 unearned runs in the 8th inning from poor defense, poor decision-making. Barnes had a mistake. Edmonds got a throwing error, which really was should have been Rojas should have cut the ball off. That didn't happen. I mean, it was just it was bad news bears for a little bit. Unfortunately, it's going to happen even for professional baseball teams. It sucks, but the Dodgers definitely should have won this game, and that's unfortunate. They should have took 2 out of 3 of this series, ended up only taking 1 out of 3. Boo. Let's move to the next game. What am I doing now, Mike?
I'm transitioning and multitasking.
For that, for those of you that aren't watching this on YouTube, we put up little highlights and stuff, little previews.
Little highlights.
Yeah, if you're not watching us on YouTube, go check it out.
It's cute. We do what we can. All right, so game three, Dodgers win this one 10-8. Bobby Miller, we talked about it, went 4 1/3, 5 hits, 6 earned runs, 4 walks, 2 Ks, 2 home runs, and stolen base. Ohtani, 2-for-4, 2 hits, 3 RBIs, and a homer. Teoscar Hernandez goes 2-for-4 his first game back after his little foot injury. He had a stolen base. That's right. The guy who had a, almost supposedly could have been a broken foot had a stolen base. Good for him. Edmonds goes 2-for-5, 2 home runs, 4 RBIs. Will Smith, 2-for-5, a double and a home run. And Max Muncy, 1-for-2, a home run and 2 walks. So what we saw in the last game, once you get Teoscar Hernandez back in the lineup, you see the lineup get long again. And from the top to the bottom, every single thing is an actual threat. It's not like Tommy Edmonds wasn't holding it down in the fourth spot because he did hit 4 home runs. No, he had 2 home runs in the fourth spot. But he actually didn't know what he'd do. He went 4-for-8 in the fourth spot because he took over the fourth spot for Teoscar when he was injured. But then, you know, anyways, I forget where I was going with it because late. Other than that, at least the Dodgers ended the series on a high note. They're only 5 games. There's still 5 games in first place, so it's not a lot of stuff lost. You still want them to win every series ending.
We're doing all right.
Yeah, we're doing all right. Max, did we find out our magic number? What is the real magic number?
11.
11. So that means any combination of wins and losses from who's ever in second place, which is the Padres right now.
No, Arizona.
Arizona's back in second?
Arizona, yeah.
I have
so a combination of wins and losses, you know, the Dodgers take it home. And for Arizona, actually, so if it was the end in a tie because the Dodgers have the tiebreaker, it would go to the Dodgers. So the Dodgers actually have 6 games in first if it's Arizona that gets the tie. You know that works?
I see how that works.
That's going to do it for this Cubs-Dodgers. Okay. No, we still got a preview.
He's ready to go.
No, we still got a preview. We still got a preview the next series against the Braves.
Are you worried about that series?
No, we're going to sweep it.
Are you calling a sweep?
No. We're going to do 2 out of 3. Let's give me the stats.
Braves have been pesky. I mean, they have a ton of injuries, but they still find a way. I don't know.
Max, give me the stats.
We were supposed to sweep the Cubs.
Who called sweep?
I did.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't.
Yeah, well, they should have.
Yeah, I mean.
Poor defense and poor pitching.
Well, the Braves still find a way. They're 3rd in home runs. They're 2nd in slugging because they hit a lot of home runs, obviously. 3rd in runs, 6th in batting average. Their pitching is solid, even with all the injuries they have. They're 6th in batting average allowed. So they're still pesky. I wouldn't call it a sweep. It might be if you couldn't sweep the Cubs, you're not sweeping Atlanta. But stranger things have happened.
Who's our pitching matchups?
Tomorrow you got Knack versus Schwellenbeck.
Schwellenbeck, how's he?
Oh, young pitcher. He has he's a 5-7 record, but a 3.78 ERA.
Okay.
So you know Atlanta, they've been pumping out pitchers since the 90s.
Yeah.
Right? You got Flaherty. This is the game Saturday. Flaherty versus Sale.
That's gonna be fun.
Sale with his wonderful 2.38 ERA. 16-3 in a baseball league where wins don't matter anymore. The guy still has 16, right? And then Sunday you have Walker Buehler going to pitch his no hitter, like Robbie said, versus talk about a big game pitcher, Chris Morton.
Yeah.
So that's a solid pitching matchup. And then Monday, because it's a 4-game set.
Oh, it's a 4-gamer. Yeah, I didn't even know that. Oh.
You have Yamamoto and Max Fried, of another really great starting pitcher.
Whoa. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, I forgot. I got my order of my pitchers mixed up. Okay, so I guess they're not going to throw in another 6-man.
It's a 4-game series, so.
No, but I thought they might have thrown in another pitcher to make it a 6-man rotation. But they have the day off. They had the day off today, so it still kind of works out. All right.
And then, you know, you got Bobby Miller starting the Marlins series.
The Marlins series. Come on, dude. You got to pitch good against the Marlins. Jesus. They're a triple A team right now. Okay. I think that's going to do it for this episode of Talking Dodgers, brought to you by
Roger Brain Media.
Speaking of Roger Brain Media, if you like what you hear, go check out the Patreon page of Roger Brain Media. I'm sorry, rogerbrain.com. No, what is it?
Patreon.com/Roger Brain Media.
Help contributions. All your contributions help us create content, help us create new, episodes and shows and all kinds of goodies, you know.
You're mailing this episode in.
I'm not mailing this episode in. We started late. You know why we started late?
No, we're not going to go there.
Because, you know.
Dodgers.
Because we were talking Dodgers. We're talking Dodgers. Exactly. That's why. Exactly.
Hey, I want to give a shout out. Can I do one?
Yeah, sure.
Of course, man.
I want to give a shout out to all the little league coaches out there and all the kids, all the parents that volunteer their time to teach a game of baseball to all these young ones here. Sometimes it's a thankless job, and I just want to show appreciation to all you moms and dads out there that give your kids an opportunity to learn the great game of baseball and softball.
That's really good, Mike. That's really good.
Feeling a little sentimental today about
solid.
It.
Solid.
I think it's
love that.
Very solid.
Yeah, man, it's a.
Well, you know what? You know what I would do for you.
You'd coach my kid.
If I could, I'm gonna coach your kid.
I know.
If I could, I would adjust a schedule for you, so that way you could have your games on a weekday at least one time instead of a weekend. Just so that way, when I tell you, when I give you a late notice when a season's gonna start, you're able to make the adjustments necessary so
within
that way,
your personal
within
life.
Your personal life.
To take care of your responsibilities as a coach.
And you know what? I'm at the point now where I feel like we're going to actually start a new podcast coming up pretty soon. And this is for all the people that actually make it all the way to the end of this podcast. That's going to actually talk about youth sports in Santa Clarita.
I think it's a great podcast.
And we're going to talk about one place in particular at some point. And it's not going to be, I think it'll be exciting.
It'll be good.
It'll be exciting. We'll get some guest people in here. They can give us the breakdown, the lowdown on how it all works, being a nonprofit and, you know, making the place run smoothly. On that note, thank you for listening to this whole episode of Talking Dodgers. We will catch you next time. Wait, what do we predict? I'm going 2-for-3. Max going sweep. Mike, what do you got?
What? I didn't say any sweep.
I think we get one out of four.
One out of four. Three out of five. I'm sorry. We're going to take 3 out of 4.
3 out of 4. I'm going to go 2-2.
2-2.
Just to be different.
I think
Braves are pesky. Yeah, I don't know how they're doing it with all these injuries, but they're still doing it.
I think Sale's going to have a great outing. It'll be a fun game to watch.
All right. Yeah.
Tune in next week for Talking Dodgers, people.
I don't know if I'm going to be here.
You will.
You're right. Jets, New England. Good luck finding me.
After that game they played last week?
Yeah, you're not finding me next Thursday. Oh, yeah.